James, uptown.
Uptown, huh? New Jersey is in the building. All right. Well, my name is James Warren, and I am truly humbled and grateful to be here. I honestly can say that I probably would not have been here this long if it not been for my wife. I think God, when he saw that I was being formed in the womb, immediately thought he's going to need a wife. If he's going to get to heaven, I'm going to have to send him a suitable helper with incredible amount of patience, a gigantic heart, and tolerance for a selfish man. So I am truly grateful for God for answering that prayer before I even asked it. So we're going to jump right into this. The title of our class is Two Heads Are Better Than One. I believe that God thought this when he created man. He thought, you know what? He's going to need someone to keep him leveled. So he decided to create woman. In Genesis 1, verse 27, as you can see, well, actually, let me go back. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Now, God created both man and woman to represent, to be his representatives on earth. He uses both male and female to display his image. God is the first one to endorse the idea that two are better than one. I believe a part of that is because God is just too vast to be betrayed by just one sex. Both men and women offer valuable insight into the nature of God. He is both fatherly and motherly. He is both strong and gentle. He's a worker, he's also a nurturer. It was his plan to make us different from the moment he imagined us. So the title of our class is Two Heads Are Better Than One. We have a few points. We are different by design. We are different in how we communicate. And yes, we can still make it work together. Amen? So let's go into this. We are different by design. I like this cartoon. Did you know that when a cat wags its tail, it means something completely different? This is one dog to the next. You know, sometimes what really trips us up as couples is we assume that our spouse should be like us. And I've made that mistake so many times. So if you're upset about that, take it to God, because it was his plan to make us different from the beginning. God made us different in many ways besides the obvious physical differences. We think differently. We process emotions differently. I process my emotions in front of the TV. My wife on the phone with other women. Sometimes the two cross. Sometimes she's processing her emotions in front of me while I'm watching TV. We make decisions differently. We learn differently. You know, Zalika and I, we process life very differently, and we had to grow to love and appreciate our differences. Early on in our marriage, there were a lot of tears, and they were not mine. Even on our honeymoon, my wife was crying. She wanted sex, I wanted a nap. Our signals were crossed. I looked at that as an opportunity to take a much needed vacation. I was in a full-time ministry. She was thinking, I didn't wait all this time for you to take a nap. I want to get busy. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, we got all our lives together to get busy. I just need an hour. We both came in with different expectations. And just like Jim, I was terrified at the thought that, all right, I'm going to get exposed. I'm a selfish guy by nature, and she's going to find out that she's not going to want to stay married to me. And so I thank God that we can now look back on our marriage and all the rough times and laugh. We love to laugh in our marriage, and I think laughter is great medicine. You got to be able to laugh at yourselves. You got to be able to look back. Remember when you said that and laugh it up? Now in the moment, there's no laughing. It's not a laughing matter at all. But we can look back and think, you remember that time I wanted to, you know, get big, you wanted to take a nap? Yeah, you know, we can laugh at it now. 16 years later. But we have to accept our differences. God made us different. My wife is a specialist at appointments. Her cuvadas, her scheduling book is filled to the T. I only put the necessary things in my notepad. Activities. She's a master planner at activities. Sometimes she's planning activities while she's cooking and on the phone with sisters, helping them work through situations. I can't fathom that. You know, the school with the kids, play dates, friendships, social, if it were up to me alone, our kids would have no friends, their teeth would be falling out their heads, they'd be little hermits, staying quiet while daddy thinks, and nothing would get done. My wife is awesome. She has boundless energy. Sometimes I sit and watch her and wish, God, just give me an ounce of that energy. How does she do it? And I can see God knew. You need someone like this in your life, brother. You better appreciate this woman. You better appreciate the fact that she remembers to make those dental appointments so that your kids are not walking around with yuck mouth.
Well, I'm equally very grateful to be married to my incredible husband of 16 years. And we are very different, and he has so many strengths that he brings to the table, that things that I don't even think about. One thing I could tell you is the car. When it comes to the cars, he knows so much about them. He's always, you know, the one to deal with the mechanic and, you know when it's time to, you know, go get checkups and stuff like that. I don't even think about those kind of things. Technology, anything that goes wrong with the computer, with the game system, with, I'm just like, gotta wait till your daddy gets home. I don't know what to do with it. Thank goodness for him. My kids would not enjoy nearly as much as they enjoy because daddy knows how to do it. He's fun. He keeps us laughing all the time. The dinner table, he has a way. I'm a more serious person, but he has a way of just saying something and sending everybody into laughter. So he keeps that tone happy in our home. I appreciate that. He's really good at our safety, you know, looking out for what's going to protect us. Again, why the car thing is important. I can tell you that he checks the mail, and I really don't think I'd know really what's happening in my life if my husband didn't check. Because sometimes I just totally forget about that. But he always checks the mail and makes sure that happens. He's handy around the house. We have different temperaments. He's melancholic and phlegmatic, and I'm sanguine and choleric. So you can see that's very different. Sometimes can cause conflict. But he's great at troubleshooting and figuring out solutions to problems. I get overwhelmed with the idea of fixing. He will focus on until he figures it out. He feels deeply. He connects really well with people. He builds deep friendships. He makes people feel safe around him. He's very vulnerable. I call him a Renaissance man because he knows so much about so many things. And I just share these things because I think it's so good for us to sit back and just appreciate what are the strengths of our spouse and what do they bring to the team that we don't provide on our own. I know my husband does so much for our family, for our household, for our kids, for me, that I never would consider doing. Even a funny thing, he takes care of all the plants in the house. He's the green thumb. I mean, we both cook, but he's a great cook and even excellent baker. But when it comes to the fish, for example, I forget that the fish is in the house. Now, if he leaves and goes on vacation, I might not feed it. Because to me, it's like furniture. I'm just walking by the fish tank, but I forget that we have a pet. So these are things that, thank goodness, you know, the fish is still alive. That's God's grace when he gets home. But I have to be reminded. But this is things that he thinks about naturally. So, you know, two are better than one in our house, definitely. We definitely are very different.
And surprisingly enough, that fish has lived for 7 years, thank God. You know, amen. His name is Darwin. We call him Darwin. The kids named him. You know, we're going to be referring a lot to the book by Bill and Pam Farrell, Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. If you have not read that book and you need some encouragement, you need some direction in your marriage, and you want to laugh the whole way through it, get that book. It is awesome, all right? So we're going to be referring a lot to that. But, you know, we're different by design. We're different by design. And, you know, one of the things that we have to learn to appreciate is that the fact that we are different, the two halves that come together completes a whole. You know, it's no coincidence that opposites attract. Try matching the two poles of a magnet. Positive to positive, it doesn't work. But what makes it connect is the positive attracted to the negative. She's the positive, I'm the negative. But you gotta learn to appreciate those differences. That's what it makes our marriage work. You know, for men, you know, the waffle mentality is, you know, our thinking is divided up into boxes, just like the video, Two Brains. I'm not gonna really dwell too much on it, but I think it's a very important point, because we've had many conflicts in our marriage because I'm in one box and she's making all these connections, and I'm like, well, what does that have to do with this? And so we're trying to figure it out. And so this is what really helped us, you know, just understanding that we think differently. And you know what? That is okay. It's not a weakness in your spouse because they don't think like you. And I think sometimes, and I'm, you know, this is the evangelist coming out of me, I think sometimes husbands feel insecure in their marriages because they're made to feel like they're not smart because they don't think like their wives. They're made to feel, or sometimes we're made to feel like we don't love our kids because we're not thinking about the dentist appointment. No, I'm not thinking about the dentist, but I am thinking about the brakes on the car that will get you to the dentist safely. So, you're thinking about their teeth, I'm thinking about you gotta get there in the first place.
Yeah, there you go.
And you gotta get there safely. Yeah. So, our thinking is divided up into boxes that have room for one issue at a time. I can only deal with one thing at a time, okay? A man will strategically organize his life in boxes and spend most of his time in the boxes he feels he can succeed in. And this is a strong motivation for him to seek out the other boxes that he feels that he will have a victory. Now, here's the thing. If a man feels like he's failing in his marriage, if he feels like he's failing in his parenting, if he feels like he's failing in his career, he will avoid talking about those and put very little effort into making anything happen in those boxes. So imagine that. Imagine a husband who's in his career box and he's pursuing that because he's successful and everyone's benefiting from his success. But if he doesn't feel like his marriage is working, he's not gonna put forth the effort because he feels like he's a failure. You know what? Why bring it up if you're not gonna listen anyway? Why try if it's not gonna change? And so we process success differently than women do. We take a success approach to communication. If we believe that we can talk successfully to our wives and reach a desirable outcome, we'll be motivated to talk. But if on the other hand, the conversation seems pointless to us, then we find understanding our wives impossible. Then we lose the motivation to talk and we clam up. Or as one other book says, we go into our cave. You know, sometimes when I don't feel like talking, it has nothing to do with my wife. It could be a challenging time I'm going through in the ministry. It could be a hard conversation I have with a friend, and I'm just in that box. And my wife will come along and she'll think that, well, silence is not good. So what did I do? And so we had to talk this out. And I said, honey, you know, whenever I'm in a bad mood, it's not always because of you. So let me let you off the hook. But thanks for asking. Because there are other things going on in my life. I just need to work it out with God. And that needs to be okay. Amen?
Amen? Just a little bit about how women process things. Just like the video said earlier, he talked about a ball of wire. But this book that we've been reading, it talks about thinking about spaghetti. And how when you look at a plate of spaghetti, it's like everything is intertwined with everything else, and you can almost not even see where one noodle starts and another one ends. And that's how we process information, like a plate of pasta. We transition from one noodle to the other seamlessly. For women, every thought and issue is connected to every other thought and issue in some way. And so life is much more connected and much more of a process for us than it is for men. This is part of why we notice that women may succeed more at multitasking, because they're able to juggle all of those thoughts and process more information at one time than a man can. But that doesn't make us better, sisters, women. That just makes us different than men. No, in conversation, we pursue connecting life together. And so we constantly feel the need to talk and to talk things through, because we that's the way that we get to solutions. We talk in order to figure things out. And that's not necessarily the way that men think. You can understand how that can lead to conflict, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
So, brothers, because you're in a box doesn't mean you shut down all lines of communication. We're different, but we can still communicate with each other in a way that allows for us to function as one, despite our many obvious and not so obvious differences. You know, my wife and I had to let her know that it wasn't about her, because she walks around thinking, well, he's quiet, it must have been something I did or something I didn't do or something I said. So she thinks she's in the doghouse because I'm walking through in this box, and everywhere I go, I'm in this box. So I had to communicate with her, babe, it's not you. Pray for me, I'm just going through a hard time right now. Brothers, we gotta let our wives off the hook. We have to let them know it's okay, it's not about you. Don't just stay in your box. Don't just stay in your cave. Every now and again, you gotta poke your head out and say, everything is good, I'm just working things out in here, all right? Second point, we communicate differently. We communicate differently. I like this cartoon. My words came out fine, they were processed incorrectly by your brain. A couple came to a counselor because they were on the brink of divorce. The counselor asked the wife, does your husband beat you up? She answered, no, I beat him up by several hours each morning. Then the counselor asked the husband, do you have a grudge? The husband responded, no, we have a driveway where we park the car. The counselor, getting a little exasperated, asked the couple, what grounds do you have for your problems? The wife answered, we have about 4 acres. Finally, the counselor said, why did you come here today? Together they said, we can't seem to communicate. Let me ask you a question. Which one does God command? Acceptance or understanding? The fact that we are different is a good thing. Opposites attract. God meant for it to be that way. Satan wants us to think that our differences are a bad thing. He wants our differences to divide us, to lead us to frustration, to discouragement, and eventually to divorce. Frustration comes when we value one over the other, when we value understanding over acceptance. Let's look at a few scriptures. In Romans 15, verses 5 through 7, it says, may God, who gives his patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other as is fitting for followers of Christ. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Always be humble, gentle, and patient, accepting each other in love. Let me ask you a question. How many times in the scriptures does God command us to understand your wife? How many verses have you found where God commands you to understand your husband? I've looked them up. I have not found one. However, we are called to understand the principles of God. We are called to understand, and God is the one who understands all things, but we're not expected to fully understand each other. And most of our problems and conflicts comes from when we have this expectation that you should understand me. You should know me. You should know better. No, the scripture commands me to accept you. To accept your differences. God expects us to accept one another, not understand each other. Look it up. And this is consistent with God's other commands. Bear with one another. Love one another deeply. Forgive one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Those are in there. Why? Because we have to accept each other. Accept our differences. Why? Because a man will never fully understand a woman. If you have a book, if there's books on Amazon, how to understand, don't even buy it. If it's in your library, take it and give it a proper burial. I'll never forget. I believe we were dating. Were we dating? We were married. We were dating. And we decided to read the book, Men from Mars, Women from Venus. It was clear what planet I was on, and it was clear what planet she was on. And so I tried to practice some of the stuff in the book. I'm like, oh, I got this. I understand her now. I bring up a situation, you know, we had a little conflict, and it didn't work. In fact, she did the total opposite of what the guy said she would do. I took the book, and I stopped reading, and I tossed it. Now I just keep it for, like, good illustrations. I have prayed to understand my wife. God did not answer that prayer because he wants me to accept her as she is. We drive ourselves crazy trying to understand our wives. So there's so much going on up there. I sit there sometimes and I just got to pray, God, help me focus, help me stay focused, help me stay focused, help me stay focused, help me stay focused. Help me to love them, help me to... And I'm like, have you ever tried catching fireflies at night? I'm trying to catch all these thoughts. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like all panic. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to forget anything. God, please. Because you're going to ask, do you understand where I'm coming from? And I'm a Christian, so I got to be honest. I can't lie and say, yeah. You will never fully understand your husband, sisters. Just stop. Stop trying to psychoanalyze us. It will not work. We can actually sit there. I tell my wife, when I pay to go to the movies, I pay to be entertained. I don't pay to learn. That's what college is for. All right? When I go to the movies, I want to see explosions. I want to see violence. I want to see brain dead things on a very big screen with very loud speakers. I'm pretty sure that Hidden Figures was an awesome movie. I can read about that. I don't want to pay to watch that. I don't want to pay to cry or to sit next to you while you're crying. We're different. Don't try to understand it. Just accept it, woman. Different perspectives. We have different perspectives on life, on how we raise our kids. When a man starts a conversation, it's generally because he perceives there's a problem that needs to be addressed. If there is no problem, no perceived problem, he feels no particular need to talk. It's not that I don't enjoy talking to my wife. It's just that I honestly don't see a need to talk unless there's a problem.
So, you know, I had to accept this thing about my husband with the movies. So, you know, when you accept, then you can, you know, be happy. I went to see Hidden Figures with another sister, and we cried together, and then I came home and told him about it, and he said, wow, that's great, and I was happy, and he was happy. I think this point is really important, that we never will fully understand what it is to be the other gender, because that's not how we were made. I think we can understand each other to a point, but honestly, we are each other's best resource. Only he can explain to me what it's like to be James. What is it like to be in his head? And only I can tell him what is it like to be me. And he can try to understand that to a point. But I think the biggest thing is for us to understand that we're different and then accept that and then live within that place of acceptance. And then we don't have to get frustrated with each other. I'm sorry, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Women process life, yes, more like a plate of pasta. Every thought and issue is connected to every other thought and issue in some way. Life is more of a process for women than it is for men. So certainly, like I said before, we always feel the need to connect dots. And I know I talk for fun. I mean, it's fun. Like some people say, what do you do for fun? For me to go out with another woman and sit and talk and connect, that's fun for me. That's a bonding experience. I enjoy that. You know, it's just the way that we, you know, connect each other to each other's lives, and it helps us to feel close. And that's the way that women communicate. And so, you know, men are very different from us. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later.
I do not talk for fun. In fact, before we go into an appointment, I tell my wife, all right, an hour. All right? I don't want to spend 3 hours talking. Let's go in there. Let's figure out what's going on. Let's listen. Because we got other things to do. If people pay for a therapist, how much time do they give you? 1 hour. Right? I mean, come on now. If you want me to stay awake, then you'll make it fit that 1 hour. Trying to understand your spouse will drive you crazy. Just accept them. Accept and appreciate their difference. Amen. If we accept each other as Christ has accepted us, Christ accepted us, we will grow to appreciate our different perspectives. Despite our different approaches, we can still find and complete harmony with each other. We can live happily despite our obvious differences. The next point is we can make it work together.
All right.
We can make it work together. Notice I put the emphasis on together. Okay? Sometimes you have one spouse working to make the marriage happen, and the other spouse is just kind of along for the ride. You gotta work together. Two heads are better than one. Wives, you bring a very important part to the marriage, and so does your husband. And we have to welcome each other's company in this ride. We're working together. I can't have an awesome marriage on my own. With all the Bible study, with all the prayer, with all the counseling, I can't just go for help on my own and not include my wife. And brothers, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in our men's class, but when I go get help, I'm getting help for us, because it takes two to make it work. It takes two to make it work. You know, one of our favorite downtimes is watching one of our favorite TV shows, Everybody Loves Raymond. We try to make it a habit to watch it every night before we go to bed. So we wanted to share with you one of our favorite clips, because sometimes we get some of our marriage material from these shows. So let's watch this one clip from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh my God, you have ants here too, Deborah.
I know, Marie, your son keeps leaving food out. Ray, can you come here?
They seem to like your meatloaf, dear.
What? What's up?
More ants. Oh. Hmm? Just so you know, I'm calling the exterminator.
Oh, no, I hate that guy and his chemicals. The counter tasted funny after he left last time.
What are you doing licking the counter?
I saw something that looked like jelly.
Monday.
Oh. In the meantime, these ants could maybe lead you to the other crumbs in the house.
Listen, why don't you round up the kids? Huh? I don't feel like getting any more food out, so we'll take them to Marco's for dinner.
What? Oh, no, come on, don't make this into a whole thing.
What? The kitchen is covered in ants.
Yeah, but you know the kids in restaurants. Come on, look, it's late, they're tired, they're gonna be fighting, food's gonna be everywhere. I say we eat in front of the TV like a regular family.
So we can never take the kids to a restaurant.
We can go when they can drive us. How about we go to Marco's, huh? Just the two of us. Mark, can you take the kids to your house for dinner?
Sure, they could use a home-cooked meal.
Just be you and me, like when we're dating, except now I know not to expect sex after.
Okay, come on, kids. Get your coats on. We're going out to eat. You ready, Ray? Okay, bye, Marie. Listen, don't bother to clean up. I'll get to it later.
She'll get to it later. Even the ants are laughing.
Just when you thought it couldn't possibly get any louder, they find their whistles in the car. You got some spaghetti in your hair. Oh, what a nightmare.
Well, I guess I better get up there, huh?
Almost can't think of a time when the kids behave worse. Maybe that one time at the lake when Jeffrey tried to ride a goose. No, you know what? This was worse. Yep, a bad night. Well, at least we got chocolate cake out of it, though. And I love chocolate cake.
You got something you want to say, Ray?
What's that now?
You got something you want to say to me about going out tonight?
No, I don't think so. I pretty much said all I had to say before we went there.
What is your problem?
No problem. It's just that I had another plan for tonight and you rejected it. And now, did you get what you wanted?
I hope you're enjoying that because that's going to be your last meal.
I'm not scared. What happened tonight caused me to have a revelation.
Which was what?
That I'm always the one who has to back down around here. I constantly have to shut my mouth to keep the peace.
Excuse me? This is unbelievable. You're gonna act like a big baby because you didn't get your way tonight?
Try every night, okay? I'm talking about 12 years of marriage now. You have to get your way on everything all the time.
That is not true.
Oh, it's not true? How about the dog that I've always wanted, huh? Hey, well, wait a minute. If you don't always get what you wanted, then I guess we have one. Hey, Floppy, here, boy.
Floppy.
That's right, Floppy. You can't even let me name my imaginary.
So because we don't have a dog, you never get your way.
What? Look around. Everything in here is your decision. That lamp, that painting, the flower drapes over the sink. I hate those drapes. Look at them. They're one pattern. The walls are totally different pattern. Seriously, what were you thinking with those drapes?
I didn't hear a peep out of you when we were picking them out.
Yeah, well, maybe you need to listen better.
I need to listen better? I need to listen better!
Yes, yes! I did say something. I said, really? Those drapes? And what did you say? I believe you said, let me see if I remember. Oh, that's right. You said,
well, that's because really, those drapes doesn't help me. You see, you don't really want to be involved in the decision. You just want to reserve the right to complain.
No, no, you just don't want my opinion. How about with the couch? Remember, I picked out that really cool one with the 3 pop-up footrest.
That thing was atrocious.
It was perhaps the best couch ever.
So that's your idea of decision-making. A dog named Floppy and unlimited footrests.
Not a bad start.
Well, I think you're forgetting that I already let you make decisions, Ray, and then you proceed to screw them up.
I don't recall that.
Last week, I sent you for a simple garden hose. You came home with that tiny thing. It's totally useless.
What? That's a good hose.
It's 2 feet long. The water doesn't even reach the plants.
You squirt it over there. You use your thumb. That's what people do.
Just so you know, that hose is going back.
Oh, that's it right there.
What?
That is how you get your way. Just so you know. Yeah. Just so you know, Ray, we're getting the flowering drapes. Just so you know, Ray, I ordered the boring couch without the footrest. And Ray, we're gonna move in across the street from your parents. Just so you know. That's right. I remember saying, no, no, in the name of all that is holy, no. Look where we are. Nice work. Sorry I'm coming on a little strong, but the truth has set me free.
So you just want to make more decisions, is that it?
That's all I'm saying.
No. Around here when you stop taking any responsibility. You don't help me at all. You can't even wash a dish.
Maybe I'd wash a dish if I didn't have to look at those repulsive curtains.
Fine. You be that way. But until you start helping out, I'm making all the decisions.
What? But you can't do that. We're married. It's a two-way street.
No, it's not.
What do you mean, no, it's not? Marriage is a two-way street. You can't just make it a one-way street. Think of all the accidents you're causing. Not making any decisions. I'll make all the decisions I want. Maybe I'm deciding to sleep down here tonight.
I already made that decision. Just so you know.
Great stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about making it work together. You can see why we like this show, right? We just laugh all the time. But what are some of the things that you saw did not work for when it comes to Deborah? Maybe some of the women can tell me. What did you notice in her communication, her attitude that did not work? She's bossy. She didn't appreciate his opinions. Definitely disrespectful. Yes, way in the back.
Her tone of voice.
Her tone of voice, yes. She's condescending, right?
She's very independent.
Independent, doesn't really consider his point of view when she makes decisions.
She thinks that she's the leader.
Definitely, thinks she's the leader.
She wasn't really hearing him, she wasn't listening.
Right. And you see she reacted to him saying she needed to listen better. And sometimes we think that way, sisters, that our husbands need to listen better, but we also need to be patient listeners because there are things that they're communicating that we may not be really hearing and giving attention to. Certainly, she's like a textbook perfect example of lack of submission. You know, like, he had a great idea. Let's go out together, just the two of us. Let's have a date. Yeah. You know, let's leave the kids. He got excited about it. You can see that. She totally dismissed his feelings. And, you know, went ahead and said, kids, let's do this, and are you ready? You know, like, she totally took over the situation there. And one of the things I noticed in her, in terms of appreciating differences, is that she does not value what he contributes to the household. Like, she thinks that she does so much more than he does with the kids or with the house, that she feels that, you know, he doesn't have a right to say anything. But yet, he works and he provides for the family. She's home, but she doesn't value him. She has a kind of superiority posture. So she believes that she's better than him and that what she contributes is better to the household. And so definitely that was, you know, a terrible example for us as women. And, you know, there's different ways. You want to talk about Raymond a little bit?
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Yeah, and then I'll share something else.
So guys, what did you notice about Ray? What are some things that jumped out to you about Ray?
He was frustrated.
He was frustrated, okay.
He wasn't clear about his communication, like the Drakes. He could have clarified it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't really clear what he communicated. Uh-huh.
He didn't pick up on the insecurity that his mom and his wife feel.
Come on, that brother's deep right there.
He let a lot of things build up.
He let a lot of things build up, right? You know, Ray was very, he had a very passive-aggressive response, right? You know, he gave in and he stood back while his wife paid for it. So in a way, he really didn't protect her in that way. You know, just because, you know, our wives can be pretty determined, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, because, you know, you see, you can say, honey, you know what, let's really talk this out. Let's consider some other options here. But he said, all right, well, that's what you want to do. And then he just sat back, well, did you get what you wanted? And that's not a really loving response, is it? Because that's not how God is with us. That's not the story of the prodigal son. You know, the father didn't stand at the steps and say, well, what did you learn? Instead, he ran up to him with open arms and embraced him. And I think sometimes we can help brothers, even if our wives, we feel like our wives did not take our opinion. Don't just sit there and stand by and let your wife suffer through the consequences. We can love each other through that, and maybe she'll value your opinion the next time by the way you respond. Another thing is that he exploded. There was obviously a lot of things stored up in his heart. I'm a lot like Ray. I'm a stuffer. And sometimes, you know, I'll passively, you know, sift through emotions and feelings and just kind of tuck them away in a box. And then when that box gets overflowed, it starts overflowing and there's no more emotions to put in that box. And that button gets pushed, then it's like it all comes out. And that's not fair to our wives, to stuff our feelings and then dump it all on them unexpectedly. That's just not fair to them. And so we have to figure out a way to communicate in a way where our feelings are appreciated, we feel heard, and we feel respected as well. So those vague suggestions that he gave, I could totally see Deborah not picking up on. You know, it's like, hell, you really want to get those drinks? Like, you know, so if that's your way of communicating, you may want to start thinking about a different way to communicate with your spouse in a way she'll listen.
One of the things that I learned from Deborah is just the whole scene is about her getting her way. And I think it's really important that we learn how to listen to each other and compromise. I know I've had to learn, you know what, it doesn't always have to be the way I want it to be. I know one thing that we fell into kind of had a conflict about early in marriage was vacation, the topic of vacation. So the way that my family, and you know, all of these things kind of come from our background, right? Like the way my family does things is everything is planned. Like every moment, every day, it's like, okay, what are we going to do? We think about all the things that are happening in that area that we're visiting, and let's go do this day and this day. We plan and we, you know, execute the plan. James goes on vacation to relax, not to do stuff. So we will have this conflict because it's like, are we going to go do something? And it's like, why can't we relax, you know?
It's called the lazy river.
That's his favorite thing on vacation, the lazy river. So you know, in listening to each other and appreciating our differences, we had to come to a medium where we understood, okay, you know, we have, especially if the kids are with us, because if we're not doing something, they're going to drive us crazy. But then at the same time, we don't want to come back from vacation and need another vacation because we're tired. So we learned, we kind of, it took us years to get to this, really. But we realized, okay, we can do both. We can alternate. One day we do an activity, the next day we rest. The next day we do an activity, and the next day we rest. So both of us are getting to get something that we appreciate out of the vacation. And, you know, it really is better. I've learned to appreciate my husband's point of view. Rest is a good thing. I don't have to be doing something every moment, but this is a way that he's helped me. So that's just one example of us having to compromise and listen to each other's differences and then come to a decision so that it's not like one person always gets their way and the other one is always denying themselves, but that's not fair. There should be self-denial on both parts, that we come to the middle and make a decision together.
Amen. As we're coming to a close, I do want to point out, you know, how could they have made it work? I think Ray actually did shout out the solution. We need to listen better. It's true. This cartoon, I'm listening to you, dear. You said you're going to dinner with your parents with 2 minutes to go and a half, and I should pass the ball. Does it sound like he's listening to his wife? You know, I think we can all listen better. You know, James 1 verse 19 is there for a reason. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. You know, learning to be an active listener in your marriage may be the difference between being a loving husband and a respectful wife. Brothers, I want to encourage you, as we have all of our boxes, develop a listening box for your wife. Let me give you this example to help you understand your wife's need to finish her conversations. Imagine if everything in your life ended early. What if you were never able to finish a meal because it was taken away from you when you were halfway through? What if every sporting event you watched on TV was turned off 5 minutes before the end of the game? What if every sexual encounter ended before its climax? What if every time you drove your car, you would stop five miles away from your destination? How would you feel? Can you sense the frustration building up? The irritation that this would bring? If life were actually like this, our anger would always be close to the surface, and our motivation to keep pursuing these activities would be shattered. This is the way your wife feels when she is not able to finish conversations with you. She feels like she gets there and then it's done. And so to help us to appreciate meeting our wife's needs, we have to make time to speak to them. In your box, your listening box, here's the problem. Because we're all solution-oriented men, right? For the most part. So the problem is your wife needs to talk. Sisters, you got to be okay with that. That's just how we think. You're not the problem. That's just how we process it. Okay, here's the problem. My wife needs to talk. The solution, listen to her for a half hour at a time. And then, all right, I need a timeout. I'm going to go use the bathroom. I'm going to come back. I want you to finish that conversation. I just got to, you know, my brain. I want to hear everything you got to say. Go take a potty break. Say a little prayer if you have to. Lord, expand my capacity. And then you go back in for the second half. You know what that's like, brothers. If you succeed, you will have conquered that challenge. And your wife will be the happiest woman walking alongside. She will think that you are the most sensitive, attentive man on the planet just because you decided to make a box especially to listen to her.
Just some quick tips for the sisters in understanding how our husbands communicate. So, first tip is stay in one box. So when our husbands bring up a topic, they're gonna want us to stay in the box that they opened up. And so what we tend to do is make all the connections to all the other boxes that are touching it. And so we're like, oh, and that connects to this and this, and then we bring up all these other things and it gets overwhelming, okay? So resist the temptation to open all the other surrounding boxes. Help him keep the conversation on track, okay? He wants to identify the problem, evaluate the options, commit to a solution, and see it work out. That's what he wants, okay? So that means we have to be a patient listener. We have to be focused listeners. It's funny because for the man to follow our spaghetti, he has to be a focused listener. But for us to stay in one box, we have to be focused listeners. So we both have to be the same thing. We both have to grow. Sometimes, sisters, we think that because men don't process life the way that we do, that they're unfeeling and uncaring. And this is not true. It could be further from the truth. The fact is, often we never let them stay in one box long enough to actually discover what their feelings really are and allow those feelings to come out, because we just start moving all around. So we've got to stay in one box. If we're talking about finances, that's what he wants to talk about. If we're talking about, you know, the kids' schedule, let's talk about that. Try to stay in one box and focus and come to a solution, and that will help. Another thing is, I guess it's kind of similar, avoid overload. Each box you open is another problem that needs to be solved. So every man has his limit. You know, you start one conversation, you open a box, and then you open another box. Now there's two problems, three problems, four problems that need to be solved. And eventually, every man reaches his limit of how many problems he can deal with at one time. And so then what ends up happening is usually like shut down or just getting angry. And I know I've done that so many times, and I'm still learning. Even this week, we had a conversation, and I started in one box, and then I opened a whole bunch of other boxes. And eventually James is like, okay, so what do you want me to work on? Like, what's the one thing that I need to change? So that's something we've got to try to avoid, is that overload. One of the things that has helped me so much, sisters, is that talk to God first. You know why? Because the Bible says, Isaiah 40:28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. If there anybody understands us, it's God. And I know with God, I can pour out my heart. I can open every single box in the wall. I can open everything. It's the kids, and it's the schedule, and it's the marriage, and it's PTA, and it's, I can open every box I want to and talk to God about it, and he'll help me make all the connections as I pray. And he's not overwhelmed, and he helps me to figure out what is it that I really am feeling? What is it that I really need to bring up and narrow it down to something that can be constructive in conversation? I think it's really hard when we expect our husbands to take that whole journey with us to kind of talk and figure it out. I've learned I need to talk to God, let him help me figure it out, what I'm feeling, what I need to bring up. And sometimes other women in my life, women who I know my husband and respect him. That's important. But they help me maybe kind of come to the conclusion, and then I can have a conversation with my husband in one box, bring up that one issue, and resolve it. And it goes so much better. So those are my encouragements to you. Stay in the box, be a patient listener, avoid overload, and talk to God first.
Amen. In conclusion, the goal is not to understand, but to accept.
Amen.
If we accept one another, you don't really have to fully understand your spouse in order to accept them and appreciate them. When we accept, when we learn to listen, we deny ourselves, and we come to a compromise in our marriage, and our family will benefit, and we will truly experience the truth behind Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one. You know, we've put some handouts on your seats as you can take on your way out, and you know, do it individually. You can share with each other. There should be enough for one per couple. And then I believe the active listening worksheet is a great tool that we have. You can use for both, for your couples. But then there are also handouts where you can work on individually, and you can work on that in your lunch break at some point today. But I would encourage you guys, make the effort to invest in communicating with your spouse and appreciating their differences. And we love you guys. Thank you for the time. God be the glory.
Awesome.